From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents a concert performance with hammered dulcimer champion Ted Yoder. Coming up on Red Barn Radio. Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. Lex Arts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. We'd like to thank Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain for supplying food each week for our musical guests and volunteers. Chef Greg Scott and Sims Pizzeria and Ice Cream Parlor is located just minutes from Lexington in historic Wilmore, Kentucky. For more information, see Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain on Facebook. The Bourbon Barrel Guitar Company and their master craftsman Mike Mankel, who creates amazing artistic and functionally superior electric guitars from reclaimed bourbon barrels. Mike's on Facebook and also on the web at bourbonbarrelguitar.com. The Paducah Visitors Bureau, Paducah, Kentucky. A UNESCO creative city of crafts and folk art connects you to your creativity. Visit online at paducah.travel. Please welcome Red Barn Radio's Renee Collins.
Tonight, we are pleased to present another night of great music with a visit from Ted Yoder. Critically acclaimed musician Ted Yoder is widely considered a visionary artist in his own right, who has profoundly reimagined his instrument of choice, inventing a fresh musical vocabulary along the way. It gives me great pleasure and much excitement to introduce this incredible artist to you this evening. Please welcome tonight's guest in a concert performance to the Red Barn Radio stage, Ted Yoder.
Here's Red Barn Radio's Renee Collins speaking with Ted Yoder. How you doing, Renee? I thought you were going to take your shoes off and do that barefoot.
I should. Ted was I should. Hi, Eric. Thank you. Can you talk to us a little bit about the hammer dulcimer first?
About the time that I would give you some examples that would be horribly mistaken. I'm kind of a musical hack. I'm not, you know, I went to college and my professor told me to quit.
Okay.
So I'm not sure exactly what that was about, but... I have a piano background. I know some music theory and stuff like that. It kind of means nothing when it comes to the hammer dulcimer, for the most part. It's just such a strangely, oddly laid out instrument musically. It's a very ancient, old instrument. So it comes from the Middle East, and it's mentioned in the Book of Daniel in the Bible. Of course, we don't know if it was actually a hammer dulcimer or just a mountain dulcimer, but either way, they called it a dulcimer. So it's a very old instrument. It eventually got picked up by the gypsies and traveled throughout Europe, taken throughout Europe, and it's basically the grandparent to the piano, so.
Put on my blue suede shoes and boarded the plane. Touched down in the land of the Delta Blues, the middle of the pouring rain. WC handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be. And I was walking in Memphis, walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam, walking in Memphis. Do I really feel the way I feel? saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue. Followed him up to the gates of Graceland, and I watched him walk right through. Now security, they did not see him, they just huddled round his tomb. 'Cause there's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room. I was walking in Memphis, walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, do I really feel the way I feel? Well, they've got catfish on the table, and they've got gospel in the air. Reverend Green, we'll be glad to see you when you haven't got a prayer. Boy, you got a prayer in Memphis. Muriel plays piano every Friday at the Hollywood, and they brought me down to see her. They asked me if I would do a little number, so I sang with all my might. She said, tell me, are you a Christian child? I said, ma'am, I am tonight. And I was walking in Memphis, walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, do I really feel the way I feel? Walking in Memphis, walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, do I really feel the way I feel? Put on my blue sweatshoes and I boarded the plane. Touched down in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. Touched down in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain.
And you are a national champion on the hammer dulcimer. And what year was that you won that competition?
Way back in 2010.
Okay, 2010. Your ascent actually started in what I believe it's 2007. And from what I've read about you, you were a professional floor covering installer at the time. And you were not playing a whole lot of music that time in your life.
No.
And then you had an accident.
I'll try to make it short because it's a fairly long story. We were living out in Chicago at the time, out in the suburbs of Chicago, and so we were coming back to Indiana for Easter to be with family. I got home from work on Friday and decided to leave late, you know, rather than wait till Saturday morning. I'm kind of impulsive that way. So anyway, on the way back, we, right around Michigan City, Indiana, there was a freak ice storm that came through. And I had 5 children at the time, and my older brother, Mike, with me. We went into a spin, and it was just one of those things that you knew that you weren't going to pull out of. Flipped the minivan. My first thought was, I wonder who's not going to make it. And then I heard the windows blow out, and the roof hit my head, and then my next thought was, oh, it's me. And then I blacked out. So thankfully, I was the only one that got hurt, but there was some really deep muscle damage in my neck. And so being a flooring installer was not an ideal thing to be doing at the time that happened. So during my recovery, I was kind of having some words with God about it. And he asked me why, if I would have died, what I would have said to him, at why I didn't use my talent. And my simple answer was, I'm afraid. And he said, okay, time for no more fear. And also along with that, I was thinking about the legacy that I left my children, and was wondering if I would have died, what they would have remembered about me, and if it was not to put anybody down or anything like that, because obviously providing for your family is a very noble thing. So just take this with a grain of salt. For me, it would have been a travesty if my kids didn't grow up knowing that you could pursue something you absolutely love to do and that you should not hold back because of fear. So.
You were a pianist as well, right? Did you kind of do that instrument before this came about? Because
yes.
You did not play the hammer dulcimer, right,
until
after the accident. Is that correct?
I had a hammer dulcimer already, but all my musical stuff, when we moved out to Illinois from Indiana, all my musical ventures kind of just took a back seat for a number of years.
Okay.
And I was kind of a jack of all trades, master of none type thing in the musical realm. I knew my absolute love was the hammer dulcimer. Besides that, there's, you know, not as much competition. So, you got to be really good on the piano or guitar to stand out in a crowd anymore. Here, I can kind of hack my way through on this thing, and yeah, it's all right.
Waves crashing, the tide rolls out. It's an angry sea, but there is no doubt that the lighthouse will keep shining out to warn this lonely sailor. And the lightning strikes and the wind cuts cold through the sailor's bones, through the sailor's soul, till there's nothing left that he can hold except this rolling ocean. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready, I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm. Give me mercy for my dreams, 'cause every confrontation seems to tell me what it really means to be this lonely sailor. And when the sky begins to clear and the sun it melts away my fear, I cry a silent weary tear for those who mean to love me. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready, I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm. distance, it is no real friend. And time will take its time. You will find that in the end, it brings you me, this lonely sailor. And when you take me by your side, and you love me warm, you love me, and I should have realized I had no reason to be frightened. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready, I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm.
You are the national hammer dulcimer champion, and we also have a national thumb-picking champion in the audience, Dean Phelps, who is a friend of yours and a mutual acquaintance of ours. Around this time, probably last year, I guess it was around August, Dean sends me this actual Facebook post from a live broadcast in your backyard, and that changed a lot of things for you, did it?
A lot of things, yes. When I won the national championship in 2010, I got fired from my day job like 7 days before I went to compete for the national title. I was kind of forced into doing music for a living. So at the time, I didn't have a whole lot of gigs, right? Because not many people knew about me. And I went through this thing where I would do, for a couple years, I would do something called Fan Friday on YouTube. And so I would basically learn a song in 7 days and then play it for everybody on YouTube. I'm very comfortable doing video. It's something that's in my blood. So when Facebook Live came up, we decided that most of our fans were on Facebook already, so this seems like a perfect medium to dive into. And so, yeah, that was that particular video was our second Facebook Live video.
Okay. And you'd experienced some kind of success with some of the videos you had posted before as far as people liking and viewing.
Sure.
But
sure.
Probably nothing to the magnitude of what happened when you performed Everybody Wants to Rule the World on Facebook Live.
I think the previous video that we did had like 7 people live watching. And I think it had like maybe 7 shares. Something like that. So yeah, it was a little bit bigger audience the next week.
And then you did this one.
Yeah.
And over the course of 4 days, what I believe, you had 53 million likes.
53 million views already.
Yes. 53 million views. Did you notice something significant happening even in the first night?
We had 47 shares before I went to bed, which was significant considering the previous, you know, 7, yeah, exactly. At that point, I was just like, oh, cool. Well, this one's doing fairly well. And then I just went to bed.
And then you woke up the next morning.
And then I woke up the next morning. My wife and a couple of my kids got up early, and they looked at the video, and they were, and I don't remember the numbers anymore, so I'd have to, I have a picture of it somewhere. But they were making a sign that said something like 31,000 views, and they had it all colored, and they were going to, you know, wake me up with it and say, hey, look what's happening, you know. By the time they finished it and woke me up, there was almost 100,000 views, which was, you know, like within a half hour. And after that, it just, I don't know, even then, we didn't necessarily know it was going viral or anything like that. We were just like, wow, what's happening, you know? And so I just went to my part-time job, you know, like normal on Thursday. Then I started getting texts and a whole bunch of messages and, yeah.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with Ted Yoder, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with Ted Yoder after this break. This is Red Barn Radio.